We're here at the 20-metre freestyle dinner grab with Team GB's Billy Morgan and his Visa contactless card.
This pair are slicker than greased lightning through hot butter, Jeff.
Meow. Billy's a groundbreaking British snowboarder, and Visa contactless gets him what he fancies for dinner every time.
They've nailed it, Jeff! What a formidable pairing! Billy will be tucking into that before he knows it. Lovely stuff.
You need dinner in a flash? We help you pay in record time. Visa, proud sponsors of the Winter Olympics Pyeongchang 2018. Subject to bank T's and C's.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Just saying. Okay.
Can't have a burger without Megan Berg.
Kelly Barlow. When she goes Barlow, we go high-low.
And Christy Dougherty, the OG Prime Supreme.
Plus our super premium sponsors.
Kelly Grant, the Grantmaster.
And Lizzie Drucker, a fine motherfucker.
Watch What Crappens. Watch What Crappens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crappens?
Crappens. Crappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from bsideblog.com and the Pantoblenda podcast. And joining me after a long and wonderful weekend in Boston, that was both of us, we were both there, it's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and the Rose Pricks Bachelor podcast. What's up, Ronnie?
Well, hello, Ben.
We've done it. We made it back.
We've done it, girl. We got back home. I went straight to Whole Foods last night down the street from me. And God, it was funny to see LA people after seeing Boston people. Yeah. The dough. I was like, oh my God, these faces. How could
right?
It's like I was gone 5 days. How could I forget how crazy the faces were here?
I know. I was saying the same thing. It's like, you know, when you're gone, when you're in Cambridge for 5 days and you're seeing people dressed normally, you know, wearing Columbia sportswear, outerwear, you know, jackets, and, you know, writing term papers or talking about academic things just at the local restaurant. And then you come back here and it's like, oh my God, people with crazy hair and lips and eyes.
There was a crazy dude, a crazy face dude. No offense if he listens to this, because he probably does. I mean, we, you know,
you never
but
know.
He was, not that anybody we've seen is crazy face so far, but, right when we got off the plane, there was the craziest plastic face of a man who's probably in his, like, I mean, who knows, like 70s. I think this face was in like the 20th year, but God damn, it was tight. I was like, girl, it's like, welcome back home. A big rubber face.
Yeah. I don't think those exist in Boston. It's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Why bother? Like, the filler probably gets cold. Your face is already numb from walking around in that goddamn freezing cold all day.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, why bother? So anyway, we had an amazing time in Boston, and I'm still barely awake. I mean, I sort of emerged from Boston a little worse from where I, like, my ear clogged up on the plane, and I was like, oh, I had like an echo going on inside my own head for like 12 hours. I've only just come out of that. I'm just barely standing, barely functioning. So, but that's all a product of so much fun, meeting all these different listeners who are all great. And some of them gave us amazing donuts. Some of them gave us Harvard shirts and things like that. So you guys are just
the bonus.
Awesome.
Is this the bonus or the regular?
No, this is the regular. I just want to give some love to people on the regular episode.
I'm really just trying to get my notes together.
No,
I
get
was
your
like,
notes
wait a minute,
together.
What are we doing right now?
But that's a good way to mention the fact that we did record a bonus episode in Logan Airport at our gate. That'll be up either today or tomorrow, which I think you guys will enjoy. We share stories of our time in Boston and some random stuff that happened, all while being interrupted multiple times by a PA, announcing various passengers who are late to their gates, etc.
Mrs. McGillicuddy, Mr. O'Patrick,
O'Connor party.
Yes. The O'Sandlins.
Yeah. So, yeah, and simultaneously a Pats game is happening. So it's a lot of stuff happening in that bonus episode. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. We had fun recording that one. But, you know, the show must go on, Ronnie. And that means...
I dare you to make the show go on, Bean.
The show will go on. And actually, it's going to go on in many ways. For us, it goes on because we still have many more shows to go this year. So if you go to watchwhatcrapins.com, you can buy your tickets to that Houston show, that Detroit show. Both are in March. So go buy tickets to that. I think if you speak to anyone at Boston this past weekend, they would tell you wholeheartedly, you got to come see us live because we have so much fun. We actually had too much fun. We almost had too many zoos. We had that much fun because we couldn't. We actually didn't finish our Jersey recap because we had so much fun on stage there, which is our fault. But come to
my
our
God,
shows.
Could you imagine if someone was really standing at this podcast with a goddamn timer? I mean, we would never finish any episode of anything ever. They were like, "Really, you have to go now?" Well, no, really, seriously, you have to go. No, really, we were in like minute three, I think, of the recap. And they were like, "Goodbye."
Yeah, we learned a valuable lesson, which is don't have another band play after you. Because we were all of a sudden, this band called Too Many Zoos had to come out, and we're like, okay, well, I guess we're going to end our recap here. So yeah. Sorry about that. That's some sloppy recapping on our part, but hopefully you guys enjoyed what we did do. And for today, why don't we move on to some Real Housewives of Atlanta?
Real Housewives of Atlanta. Hosea cares.
Yeah, this was sort of like a serious episode. It was like a super charity episode. So, but you know,
well, these episodes are this. It's Real Housewives of Atlanta. So everybody's saying this, not just you, by the way. I was reading it online, but everyone's saying this is a serious episode. No, it's not. It's Portia and Kenya and Cynthia all trying to prove who can be the best when they all had like 3 hours of private makeup. I was like, Cynthia, you're really going to have like three people from Priv come do makeup before you go give out things to people who just lost everything.
Yeah.
Now it's time for a ponytail and, you know, a non-beat face.
Yeah, I agree. And Kenya was trying to sort of act like that's what she was doing too, but she wasn't doing that either. She was also, you know, she was getting the full Priv.
Yeah, that cheap ass just didn't want to spend any money. She's like, I'll kick in a couple of walls.
Yeah. I liked also that in this episode that Bravo finally stops trying to pretend that, you know, like, oh, look, we hired Priv. They just fully advertised for them this time. Oh, sorry. We had a little technical glitch there. So I don't even know what we're talking about. Probably Priv. As soon as we mentioned Priv, Skype is like, y'all have to stop podcasting.
Janky ass Priv. So yeah, the Priv commercial comes on and I'm like, oh my God, it's Priv. And you know how they have this girl lifting up her fingers and they're not painted? And then it goes one finger painted, two finger painted, three. And like all the fingers become painted. One is so like out of the lines and terrible. I was like, this is so Priv. It's like,
that's so Priv.
You have these people come over. Everything looks janky. Your nails ain't right. No offense, Priv.
Get it together. But seriously, Priv, get it together. So anyway.
Privitat for humanity.
Privitat for humanity.
Hey, Kenya's just there kicking the nail polish off your fingers.
By the way, Priv, if you would like to advertise on Watch What Crappens, get in touch.
We'll change our tune real quick.
Real quick. Real
Trust
quick.
Batch.
Yeah. Yeah, Batch, we love our Priv now. So, yeah, basically this episode opens up with Portia is like, she's organizing boxes and things because she is going to be doing some Hurricane Harvey relief in Houston. In case you guys forgot, there was a terrible hurricane back in August. And so she's going to help out with her Hosea, what's the name of her charity? Hosea Feeds the Helpless or something?
Yeah, Hosea's Home or like Hosea... Hosea loves you. Like, I don't know, but it's something Hosea. Very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice. Yeah.
But I put it's a bad sign because Hosea's from Top Chef, too.
Yeah.
I know that there was like one Hosea who did a lot for the world, but yeah. Of course, I think of Top Chef and I'm like, ugh, Hosea. It's like he's everywhere. Every time there's like, oh, hey, it's a group scene with old chefs, Hosea's like, I'm coming. I'm like, shut up with your bacon tattoo. So I was already mad at poor Portia's dead grandfather, you know? Yeah. It's like, yeah. Which wasn't fair. And then I was like, Ronnie, stop thinking about bacon tattoos and start thinking about, you know, the sadness that is supposed to be this episode. So it's like, okay, I'm back.
Yeah. So we learn that that Portia is going to be going down to Houston to be doing some fundraiser/, you know, feeding people, you know, like a big, like charitable thing. And we see that last week she invited all the women when they were at Mbele's Energy Den. She invited them all to come down to Houston, and she's like, so I'm going to be doing, like, something for Houston to help out people. You guys want to come? And then they were like, they just look at her like she just invited them to the DMV.
She's like, what? I want to give everybody some hair clip-ons.
Yeah. And Cynthia goes, well, child, I definitely want to look into going. Like, okay, you want to look into possibly going. Great.
Well, yeah, now the competition. Yeah, now the competition starts, because Cynthia's like, well, I'll look into going, girl, but I was already planning on doing some kind of fundraiser myself. Yeah. Child. I'm like, you were not. Shut up. What are you going to give away? $5 sunglasses from Chevron? Stupid. It's like you could have Portia giving out like terrible weaves, Cynthia giving out terrible glasses, and Kenya just giving out bottles of water that are supposed to be shampoo.
Cynthia's going to be doing Kitchen Island for Humanity. They just go in and they restore your kitchen island.
Cynthia's just going to go around leaf blowing all of the houses in Houston.
And she's Portia, like, she's like, ciao. I heard these hurricanes were tough on the islands. They're like, oh, yeah, Puerto Rico's in trouble. No, the kitchen islands.
She's like, now every house is a Cynthia Bailey Lake house. Just kidding. You guys, this all these Houston jokes, this is terrible. So do not get mad at us, okay? It's like pain wait, through pain. It's wait, love
I
through pain.
I do have a charity thing that I want to say. So back in November, we told everyone, remember we made this big announcement. We're like, we're giving $500 to this, to like relief in the Bay Area, like the Napa region, etc. Well, we've been trying to donate this money to this one company, and they're like, they seem unable to take our money. Like they have some issue with their portal, and they're being kind of annoying. So honestly, but we still have to donate it, because otherwise that's like fraud. So if someone has a good,
I thought we found another place.
No, we didn't. So I just want to say, I mean, we could find one, but I figure as long as we got listeners, if someone from up there has a charitable fund or something that a cause up there or a local Red Cross that they want us to donate to, just get in contact, because we haven't actually donated the money yet, because this one charity that we tried, we had an issue with them, and can, you know.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah, so just a heads up, because I want to be upfront and transparent when we donate to stuff like that, you know?
Well, so we're as on it as these girls are,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, that's basically what we're saying. Yeah, exactly.
So someone's like, well, we need to get toys and clothes together for Houston, and Portia goes,
yeah, we definitely need toys.
It's like, yeah, that's where Portia's heart is at. It's like, forget the hoodies, get the toys. Yeah. Let's make sure everyone has a Nintendo. Yeah. So they are all doing a nice thing through this whole episode. It's just funny watching them fight in the middle of all of this good stuff they're doing. Right. Well, let's try and one-up each other and fight over who's a better friend as we try and see who's most charitable.
Yeah, there's like some quiet posturing happening all episode long until finally it explodes, mainly because Kenya got hangry. But anyway, so Shamia calls up and she wants to help. Which is like, you know, it's a big deal because Portia and Shamia have been on the outs despite being best friends for years. So,
well,
it's
if we're going to talk about doing some charity for somebody, let's do some for Shamia, okay? Shamia was like, I'm going to switch sides, go against Portia at my shower and embarrass the shit out of her, whether or not she deserved it. I think she probably did. I don't remember what my opinion was back then. But then Shamia realized what happens because she just, yeah, Candy was being a mean girl. They even cut to it and she was still being an a-hole.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so do some charity for Shamia, because she was like, wait a minute, I'm getting cut out of this entire show. Please, let me pass out whatever you need me to pass out, okay? I will clean down a house, I will hose down the outside, whatever you need, just let me know.
Let me be on this show, please. Yeah. So then we then go to a restaurant, and Cynthia Bailey shows up in this big old hat, like this one of those, like a fishing hat or something. Like, she's going undercover. She's got glasses and a big hat. She's about to go snooping around to find out who's been stealing money out of like the church bank vault, you know? Like,
yeah, it's like if Carmen Sandiego crawled out of a swamp.
The North Avenue Irregulars, starring Cynthia, is the reboot.
And then she's wearing some Cynthia Bailey glasses, which are pretty useless, as you would think. They're clear. They're shaped like big aviators, but they're clear. And Candy's meeting her, and she goes, I can't squeal it all today. But she's like, oh, look at you. You changed your hair. They're wigs.
Well, that's what she's saying. She changed the wig.
She's like, you changed her hair. It was blonde. Then blonde again. Now blonde.
Blonde again. I was like, I feel like she's always sort of blonde-ish. I don't know. But either way, I just was really enjoying Cynthia's whole look. I felt like she was going to bust out a magnifying glass or something, or tell us to, you know, to not talk to strangers. You know, she's very, I was getting some definite McGruff meets Carmen Sandiego meets, you know, old lady investigator going on with her.
I wanted to get some geographical clues from Cynthia Carmen Sandiego.
I wanted her to, like, poke her head out from the side of my TV, like, shake her head, and then recede back away. Or maybe see her footsteps scatter across my TV screen.
Except like, it's never a mystery. Dun, dun, dun.
It's like, where's Cynthia? Oh, the Bailey Agency. Okay, we found her.
Where in the world is Cynthia Sandiego? She's like, Houston child. It's like the end of the game. It's like the lamest game ever.
It's like, Cynthia, you're supposed to be more elusive. Child! I don't have time. I'm at the Bailey Lake House. You just, that was level two.
Oh, Cynthia.
So,
So they're having lunch and Cynthia, or dinner or whatever. And Cynthia's like, well, Miss Kenny Moore, I get that you have a husband now, child, but you just don't ignore your best boo. And then the whole time, she says it like 20 times. And then Kenya calls, and you know she's a really good friend because she's only looking at herself on FaceTime from the selfie mode, which means the phone is basically over her head. She's not looking at Cynthia at all. Yeah. She's like, hi, I'm not going to be able to come. That's okay. I'm married now. Yeah. Okay, squeak.
Yeah, exactly. Kenya's getting really annoying with this marriage thing. I think, you know, there were rumors before this season that this might be, that Kenya might be leaving. And I think we're actually seeing, you know, parallels to Kim Zolciak's final season, where she just started to check out and started to become uppity about any doing anything. You could tell she was rolling her eyes anytime she had to film with someone, throwing diva moments, the way she stormed out of that one scene, famously, her final scene as an official cast member. And I feel like we're seeing that from Kenya, and I don't like it.
Well, Kim Zolciak is a terrorist, and I don't ever want to stand up for Kim Zolciak. But I will say, at least her husband stood outside, or stayed in the car outside and waited to drive her away. Remember all those scenes? She's like, I'm out of here. And it's like Croy's just sitting there in the front seat.
Yeah, he's always
ready to drive her away.
Yeah, he's always just like lingering around in every scene. Kind of weird.
So, Mark, not so much.
So Kenya is not showing up. And Cynthia's feeling like, you know, Kenya is spending more time being a wife than giving a good read, which I agree with. But meanwhile, they're talking about this Houston thing. Well, first they talk about the elephant party, and Kenya's like, I was like, mine's rusty too. I'm telling you, after Boston, I'm like doing some weird, like, see, no, rally. There we go. It's back.
Well, Candy's little squeaks were so out good today. Of control. She had like a million of them. I cut out about.
Riley, that's jumping the gun. That was later. Yeah, no.
She was cracking me up.
Yeah, thank you for sending me those because I really needed them today.
Well, I've never had a candy laugh, and I keep writing down practice candy laugh. So I cut it out today, but then I never practiced it.
Well, candy has a laugh. Oh, sorry, you're about to debut it.
I can't get that high.
Well, she also has this specific laugh she does when you say something ridiculous to her. She goes, oh, wait, how does she do it? She goes, hey! No, that's not it. That's not it.
That's kind of heavenly.
Daddy! It's more like, I got to work on it because later on, Block says something ridiculous to her. She goes, I can't do it. I can't do it today. It was in my head a second ago, and then like that got in there, and now I'm like, it's like, you know when you're trying to remember a song when another song is playing, you're like, you can't sing We Are the World when Like a Prayer is on, even though We Are the World is like the most basic and beautiful melody ever. But if Like a Prayer is on, you can't sing We Are the World. It just can't come to you.
Yeah, if it comes on, you're like, wait, what?
I think, wait, you know what? You know what's funny? Oh, I just got it back, and when he went, wait, what? It, like, knocked it out again. It, like, fully knocked it out. I was like, oh, wait, it's back. Here, I could do it. No.
Anyway. So they're talking about Umbrella and the elephant room, and they showed the clips of Kim being like, I am a higher power, trust. And then Ambella was like, well, apparently Dixie Cup's going to help us out. So I looked up Dixie Cup because I thought maybe that's something like on Urban Dictionary that my pasty ass has never heard before. No, guess what a Dixie Cup is? A Dixie Cup. It's even in Urban Dictionary. It's like, a Dixie Cup is a small paper cup that you put stuff in, sometimes pudding.
Well, that's kind of like Kim Zolciak. Have you seen Croy? There's a fine line between Croy Bierman and banana pudding.
What's up, banana pudding?
Both kind of delicious. Both very pasty.
Jesus.
And both probably go with Nilla wafers. So,
Cynthia goes, so girl, I've been thinking of Hurricane Harvey.
That's a little bit more of what the candy laugh, the incredulous candy, when she's skeptical about something. I think. I have
Trailer Park rasp in my lungs right now. It just went like this. When
I was okay, well, I got to work on that, everyone. We're just making noises. It's like, I imagine, like, the number of goats that are flocking to everyone's iPods right now. It's like, wait a second, where did this goat come from?
All the driverless cars are just running right into each other. No one understands why.
Alexas, all the Alexas just pulled out a gun and shot themselves. They have, like, like, the Alexa cyanide pill just happened. Did, like...
It's over.
So anyway, as the drones are
basically
falling,
basically no one is going to any of these things in Harvey. Cynthia's gonna go to her own. She's gonna partner with somebody. We're gonna partner with another event. And Portia's doing her own event, and then Kenya's not even gonna go because she's got a husband, whatever that means. And so Candy's not gonna go either because she's like, I have to do stuff with Riley this weekend.
Had you initially brought it up, everyone will be more open-minded. Rally. No, but really the important takeaway, even though we've spent now 15 minutes on a nothing scene, literally making noises and making Carmen San Diego jokes, there is something that's important here, which is that Cynthia, as you alluded to, she's like, child, I'm going to have an event on Friday night, and if Portia supports me, then I'm going to support Portia, which is an important point to make for later on.
Yes, and it was also very important that Candy was like, I may not be going, but I already gave $25,000. And I like that she chose that number because, you know, Candy does give a lot, but she also has very Candy purse strings.
I just want to mention.
She's not going to give more than Kenya and Nini gave to that school when they fought at the reunion, remember?
Yeah, I just want to mention my printer has sprung to life. It's not actually printing anything. Sometimes it likes to sort of just stretch its bones a little bit. It's like, ah. So if you hear any, like, a sound of a light fan and some clicking, that's the printer wanting to join in on this conversation.
Oh my god, I hear it. Yeah, it's making that printer sound where it's like, anybody here? Anybody need me? Just wanted to check in.
It's like, hey, remember when I printed something for you like about 5 minutes ago? Are you good? You good? Can I go hang out with my friends now? You want something? Oh no. Okay.
Yeah. Do you want me to stay late tonight? Yeah. I can if you need me to, but don't want to.
I was planning to go see this movie tonight.
Can't you just turn it off? Why is it doing that?
Just once in a while. It just is like, anyway, it's back to sleep now. So then we hear this like beautiful fairy tale, sort of Prince Charming kind of music. It sort of sounds like, we're back in like the Princess Bride or something. And then during this music, we hear, this call is from Tyrone Gilliams, an inmate at federal prison.
Oh, the shade, the editors. I love
so
it.
So shady.
She's like, how you doing? And he's like, hey, baby, that's my baby there. Hey, baby, how you doing, baby?
It's around lunchtime.
Yeah.
You know, fish on Fridays.
She's like, oh, Lord, you eat better than me over there. And he's like, nah, I don't want you going on hunger strike there, baby.
She's like,
he think that when I eat, it go to my ass. He got a fat girl fetish or something.
Yeah. He calls her ass Chunky. So that's when he goes, did you feed Chunky? It's like, you in my ass? You got ass? You got Chunky? You got Chunky?
He goes, how's my back over there? And she goes, not good, baby. not good. And he's like, breakfast is on me when I'm out. I'm like, of course, Tyrone, she's paying for this phone call from jail. It's probably $20 a minute. And you're offering to buy her like a 10 cent egg.
To be fair, he will be working at Denny's, so he has an employee discount.
So it's like, I'm going to grand slam that ass when I'm back in town, baby.
So, yeah, she's under doctor's orders not to travel because of her back.
I'm sure. Gosh, Sheree, yeah. Get a job.
Chunky's hurt. So then they start talking about the elephant room and how Nini has an elephant issue with Sheree and it has something to do with Tyrone, but Nini won't really say what the elephant is, etc. So that's when Tyrone starts bringing up all sorts of shady
It's like, illusions. You want to talk about elephants, baby? He's like, how long has she been married? She don't want to go down that road. And Sheree's like, now, I don't know if she was married or not at this time, but she was trying to get with Tyrone. She was inviting him to the set of The Apprentice, to Pittsburgh, etc., to try and pursue this man like a cop would.
Yeah.
And her.
It's like trying to pursue a real Carmen Sandiego, not a Cynthia Sandiego. You know, a really tough pursuit.
She would follow him around like, whoop, whoop. Whoop, 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 whoop. Tarma would just jump back into the sidewalk. Like, no, that was the cops.
Yeah.
Nini was just calling for a visit. So we don't know, but Nini did have an odd tone in her voice when she dissed Tyrone because she was very kind of shy about it.
We mentioned that, right? She basically, instead of being like flamboyant, whenever Nini gets to spread shade or say something nasty, she'll be like, oh, child, he is a con artist. You know, but at this time she's like, oh yeah, he's a con artist. I was like, oh, that's weird. It was so
We thought spoken. That was weird, and now I guess we're seeing why it was weird.
Because she maybe had feelings or something.
Yeah. So now we're in Houston, and Cynthia, Portia, and their team.
I'm Mal, and I'm here.
Cynthia's like, I'm here with my team, child. And she's like, hi, I'm the team.
Yeah.
I'm Mal.
I'm Lauren. It's like, great, this is exciting. We got our two favorite unexciting sisters. So basically they're driving by the devastation, which is all very sad, etc. And it's terrible. I mean, you know, and they wind up going to a community center. And they are basically it looks like they're not like feeding people, they're organizing supplies and people are coming by to get supplies that they needed. And I don't know if you noticed this, but Cynthia Bailey was totally wearing a Bailey book bag unnecessarily.
Yes, and glasses.
Mm-hmm. She was like, well, you may not have scotch tape, but you might want to buy my book bag or glasses.
She's like, I'm handing out coupons.
Yeah.
Cynthia Bailey eyewear. I sound like I have a dye. I sound like basically my lungs are a Yahtzee cup, and they're just like moving dye around.
That's
there.
What I Sorry, feel like, everybody. Too. I feel like you guys are just hearing me inhale a lot. I'm like... It's like, Boston does a number on you. You know, you can only have so many bowls of chowder and bagelosaurus visits before you start to realize half your blood has turned to cream cheese and caffeine.
I know. I went straight to Whole Foods and got a salad. My body, I felt my cells coming back to life. I don't even care about vegetables. Who knew?
Yeah.
Portia's like, due to unfortunate circumstances, my mom and I were unfortunately lemony snicketed one time. Not even the Jim Carrey version. The guy from that Bang Your Mom video. Wait, what was that guy from? How I Met Your Mother. Going to say the Big Bang Theory, but it's from the Netflix version.
Yeah.
She's like, we used to have to dig in the couch for M&Ms. And I was like, been there. There like last week.
I like also how Portia during all this is in full drag queen, you know, regalia. She is wearing has some sort of like carrot colored weave going on. She's wearing Mylar, I think. I mean, she is ready to go onto RuPaul.
She's like, just in case it rains again, I'll keep everybody covered with my eyelashes. I was like, how big are the eyelashes going to get on this show? They're basically like two hands coming out of her eyes at this point. She's like a Guillermo del Toro movie.
It's like a Pee Wee's Playhouse. You know, she's like, my fashion icon is Cherry. So
Cherry's out on the street, y'all. Yeah, actually, at one point she was like,
Do I look okay? Do I look good?
They're like, Forza, we're going to help people who just lost everything. She's like, but I look good, right?
Now I know,
which is why I can never dislike Porsche. I don't care what anybody says to me.
Yeah, I know. Well, Porsche's, I was thinking the same thing, that I just really, really enjoy Porsche. I really do. Even though she's can be like kind of thick-headed and not so bright and self-interested, I just like her, you know?
Yeah, she's a housewife. You can't dislike people for those reasons alone.
Yeah.
We'll never be able to watch these shows again.
So Shamia shows up and, you know, they're like, oh, hey, Shamia. And Portia's like, it's a little weird that this is like a sort of a weird way to make amends. And I'm like, actually, I think it's a great way to make amends, you know, to be like, I'm going to come support you and show through my actions that, you know, I'm supporting you and I want to be in your life, etc. Plus, you're the one who said to Nini that the reason, like, you know, that you flew up and you saw her shows, you supported her in Cinderella and tweeted out. So Shamia's just doing what you did. So, you know, calm down.
Like, what a weird way to make amends, like helping other people.
Yeah.
I'm like exactly, wait a minute. I like that everybody had to hug Shamia with their blue plastic or their blue rubber gloves on. Like, they couldn't touch her. They're like, you're untouchable now. Okay, we're not supposed to shoot with you.
You're a friend of, I'm sorry, you... We cannot touch. We cannot make contact with your skin.
We will not. We don't want to turn to friends of. So we will not be touching you. So Cynthia's like, this is only on this show. Where Cynthia's like, oh, last time I saw you, girl, was at the domestic violence PSA, and she's like, yes, and they hug like this fucking show.
I know. So So Shamia comes. They're giving out stuff. You know, they're talking with people who are affected. It's all nice. It's nice. There's not. You know, whatever. What can you say? Like, oh my god, let's make fun of the woman who, like, you know, lost her house. So it's only funny when they lose their house to foreclosure and they're a real housewife. The only time. So
Candy, you know, this is where we go to Riley's house and we hear,
Riley.
Riley.
Riley. See? No. Riley. Riley.
So we get another housewives teaching their child to drive scene. So I was like, I don't need to pay attention for this part. But then it turned so funny because Candy's like, now, see, you're supposed to be driving on the right side of the street. And Riley goes, sweetie, this is a neighborhood. And Candy's like, you still have to drive on the right side of the street. And Riley goes, I ain't never heard that rule.
And then you could tell that Candy got mad because she's like, see, no, Riley, we're not in Europe. Get on the right side of the street. And I was like, when Candy, like, when she articulates that last T, she's like, get on the right side of the street. You know, when that last T gets articulated, you know you're in trouble. Because she was still pretty calm. She's like, don't make me do a big T. See, now, Riley, don't want no left side of the street. Don't need no left side of the street. She's like, get on the right side of the street.
So good. So Block calls and he's like, what up, dog?
Yeah, he's like, I'm about
I'm
to
just writing
baby.
Down everything Block says, and it is so funny how
thank god for closed captions, because I mean, at that he could have been speaking Polish for all I knew. He was like, baby. I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like, I'm going to pull up on you now. Hopefully Riley can fit back down. I don't want to slow that ball down.
I'm at the hospital, but you know what's going to happen, baby. So like, what, Buck? Okay, can you come over now? What?
So he's having a new baby, yet another baby. You go, Block. He's like, do you get points for this? Is this a game?
Yeah, exactly.
You're doing great over there. So Candy's like, score! Your dad just scored another one. Yeah, and he's like, well, sorry I have to cancel on you, but, you know, now it's King's birthday. King! I'm like, I think that's the name of Kenya's dog. Do you even watch this show, sir? You tried very hard to get onto it.
He's like, I just gave birth, my baby just gave birth to a little dog named King. I'm like, you just stole Kenya's dog, didn't you? Didn't you?
It's a little cut from taking it out of the broken garage door window, but I got it, baby.
So, you know, Candy tells us that ever since last year, things have gotten a little bit better with Block, and he's been better, etc. And he says he wants to take Riley out for her birthday. She's like, okay. And so, so he's like, okay, well, gotta get back to my new son, whatever. So he gets off the phone, and Candy looks to Riley after the call and is like, Riley, but you have to act that way. And she's like, don't give me no attitude, street. You know, so
it just seems no like, attitude, street. She well, because Riley was just going,
And Riley's like, I didn't give you attitude, and Kenji's like, So it just sort of seems like typical, just like standard, you know, Riley being like, But then they go inside the house and they close the door, and Riley just starts to sob, and Kenji's like, Riley.
I started sobbing because she started sobbing.
It was like a real sob. And then Todd was like,
oh, Riley. I hate and then when Ace, I feel things.
And even little Ace was like, Riley. But you know what's funny? So I actually watched this episode twice. Once on the airplane coming back last night, but I wasn't really taking notes. I just sort of had it on. And I was like, I might as well watch it. And I was like half paying attention. And I was like, Riley started to cry. I was like, oh, this is sad. But then this time, watching it the second time, knowing that she would be sobbing in the house, I was like, I got way more emotional because I was watching the scene knowing what must have been going on in her mind that she was keeping it contained.
I cried.
I was like, this poor little girl. I mean, she's 15, but this poor girl. And Candy's so, I was like, Candy is such a good mom to her. Candy is so great. You know, because I like the way that Candy was like, don't give me an attitude. But then, you know, she sees her daughter's hurt. She's like, Riley. I was like, I love Candy Burris. Like, I just love Candy Burris. She can do no wrong for me.
Well, she's done wrong for me, but I still really love her.
Yeah.
And when she's like, oh, take this mic off me, please. Riley.
And they take the mic off of her and everything. She knows this is not.
Oh, so sad. Now, you know, this poor girl, I stabbed myself in the hand because I actually cried, which is disgusting. And then I was like, you know who else is sad in this family? Poor Georgia, the dog, okay?
Georgia,
First, they're like, hi, Georgia. And then they still don't say hi to Georgia when they come back. And then when Riley goes inside to cry, they close the door on Georgia. Georgia's like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Can I get a break in this family? It's like crying for everybody in this family today.
It's kind of funny because when they first started to, when Riley went to hit the streets to go driving on the wrong side of the street, Candy was like, I think that Georgia's ready for it. And I was like, oh, that was an interest. That's kind of like a funny way to say that the state of Georgia is ready for Riley to be a driver. And then they cut to Georgia to cut the dog. And like, Georgia's like, no, it's me. And I want to come along.
The state of Georgia is not ready for anybody to be a driver. They didn't even teach people to drive on the right side of the street. I mean, if you love your children, do not let them get their driver's license in Georgia. Okay. Pick another state.
So then, after this very sweet and lovely scene with Riley, and oh, that poor girl, I just want to give her a hug all the time. So then we see Portia on the radio in Houston, you know, promoting her event with Shamia and Lauren.
Yeah, Mallory.
I have like nothing else to say about that. It was like
I was leaning back, like looking around the kitchen office. Yeah, Mallory, I think speaks for all of us when she goes heartbreaking. So then Portia goes to do this radio show, and the DJ is so awkward. He's like, hey, I'm G-Man at the box. Hey, how about this hurricane, huh, Portia? I was like, whoa, why are you laughing through this whole thing? And Portia's like, I cannot imagine waking up and having nothing. And he's like, ha, yeah, it's like up to the roof, am I right? You guys are not being very sensitive. Yeah. Fast forward.
So then there's like a scene where basically Cynthia's getting her makeup put on and Portia calls. She's like, child, I still have you listed as Portia Stewart. And she's like, Shane! You know.
I thought she said, your store. I have you locked in as Portia's store. And I was like, did she have a store that closed? That makes sense that it's Portia Stewart. That's Portia funny.
Child, I thought I was buying a car from you.
Cynthia's like, now don't be late to my event now. You better take a bird bath and glue your wig down, child. Get to the event. And I was like, I just wrote, getting hair and makeup done by 3 and people to go help the poor. Yeah. So that's so a housewife thing to do.
Exactly.
So we get to the benefit concert, and Cynthia and Mal are there. And she's like, well, Mallory and I wanted to help in a way that made sense. So we decided to host a benefit concert. What co-host? What kind of? We're here. We have a table. So
yeah, that's basically it. It was just, and then it was just a bunch of speeches and GarageBand loops, and then like, look, there's Lila James or whatever.
Well, Portia did dress like a Christmas ham. She was like one of those hams that you buy in the foil at the grocery store that's, are they already cooked? I think they are. She was wearing like a tinfoil skirt, and I was like, you cannot wear a Christmas ham around people that are hungry. Like, you're supposed to be feeding them. You're going to lose your ass in here, Portia.
So Cynthia and Portia are sort of, they've been appreciating each other now, right? Because Portia is saying that this experience has brought her and Cynthia closer. And Cynthia is saying that she's always had a sort of a weird up and down relationship with Portia, and that Portia has always come off as a taker more than a giver, but now she's seeing a different side of her. So things seem to be pretty good so far in Cynthia and Portia land. And then
Who was the one that got kicked in the stomach? Cynthia, right?
No, that was Portia. Cynthia.
Portia kicked, got kicked in the stomach. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But then Portia was like going through some sort of crazy rapture, and a PA had to pin her down onto a chaise lounge.
It was like relented. The leftovers. She was like one of the ones who was trying to leave for the leftovers. She's like,
let me out. Let me out.
So Kenya, of course, shows up because Kenya, I think, is just like, nope, sorry, I'm not coming to your event. Because she's done this multiple times. And then she's like, look, surprise, I'm here.
Hi. Now, I have a suspicion. I have some theories about Kenya these days. I think, A, well, she's gotten married and she's become really annoying about that. Second of all, I think she's really pissed that Nini is back, because I think she sees herself as, like, the queen. And she does not like that Nini is now back. And so I think she is now a little checked out and being like, well, I'm not going to do this now. Fine. If you want your big star, send Nini. I'm not going to go do that. And then I think that they finally like, Kenya, you've got to play ball. So she comes down to Houston like, fine, you know? So here
but
she
I'm going to do my own event. Like, I'm not going to do their thing. I'm going to do my own thing.
Yeah.
So she shows up and she's like, well, you know, I believe in actually helping people, not just putting on a pretty dress and going and, you know, standing in a Costco or whatever. Like, she's so rude. She's such an asshole through the wow, my bro. Yeah. I was about to cry again for Riley. Sorry. But I was like, what is wrong Riley with memory. You?
Riley.
She's such an asshole. Yeah, yeah, she's such an asshole.
I had to move mountains to get here. I'm like,
Please. Those are your boobs, okay? You walk around with those things, okay? Don't brag like just you just did something new.
There's a difference between driving up your steep-ass driveway versus moving a mountain, okay? It's not the same. So, and don't you dare quote Celine Dion, all right? So Kenya's there. They're like, yay, Kenya. She's like, people forget that I'm from Houston and I have family in Houston, et cetera, et cetera.
No, we didn't forget, Kenya.
Yeah, we didn't. We remember. You went there last season or two seasons
ago. You tried to break down your mom's door. We remember.
That was in Detroit. That was in Michigan.
Never mind. I don't remember.
Wouldn't it be funny?
She was right. She was right. I totally don't remember at all. Good call, Kenya.
Wouldn't it be funny if Kenya's mom came to our Detroit show? That'd be so awkward. Like, she'll show up for us, but not for Kenya. So, meanwhile, so afterwards that night, Shamia and Portia get together in their hotel room, and they reconnect, and Shamia apologizes for being unsympathetic to Portia's condition. I feel like Shamia is actually a pretty good apologizer. I feel like she's sincere, and she says things that I'd want to hear from an apology.
Well, she certainly knows what Portia wants to hear, because Portia's like, well,
I'm not sure we could just be right back in the best friendships, but, you know, it's good that she came.
And she goes, you know, Portia, I feel like we're back to the same place. And Portia goes,
yeah, I feel like it's been a good week.
And she goes, you're full of shit. That does not mean anything. I feel like it's a good week. Like, who says that in response? And Portia's like,
I don't want to talk about it over and over.
And she goes, okay. But remember at the shower, I'm sad I made you feel like I was unsympathetic to your fake disease that you came up with so you didn't have to pay $10,000 because you couldn't afford a first-class flight to Africa, okay? Yeah. And she's like,
oh, she understands. We're friends again.
That's like, okay.
Yeah, that's a good apology.
Yes, that's a good apology.
A good apology, you know, people say like, oh, she just said what they wanted to hear. I'm like, well, that's what an apology kind of is. You know, people need to hear certain things to feel like they can move on. You know, and that's what that was for Shamia.
Portia may be dumb as a box of chocolates, okay? But still, I love that she's like,
she acknowledged it, let's twerk.
And then Shamia goes, what is with that clip in your hair? And she goes,
I pulled it forward to make an edge, girl.
Like, she may be dumb, but she's probably a fun friend to have.
Yeah. Oh, I think so, too. But to be fair, I actually really don't think that Shamia was saying the things that Portia wanted to hear. Because I think the things that Portia wanted to hear were like, potato, Toyota, peacock, lima bean.
What?
Those are things she just wants to hear. Like if Shamia said, hey, Toyota, potato, lima bean, peacock, Portia would be like,
I wanted to hear those words. Those were all my SEO keywords. Christmas ham. She said it. Baby vegan.
Yeah, because that is what Portia was mad about. And we don't have to like rehash the whole thing, but I was actually on Portia's side for that one. I mean, shocker. I'm a Portia apologist. I know it makes people crazy. I'm so sorry, but I'm not going to deny it, okay?
Well, it's a charitable episode. What can you say?
So, yeah, but I was with her on that because I think that Shamia, I think doing shit like that in public and trying to call someone out in front of a bunch of people, she knows hate. Portia was not cool for her to do.
How short is your memory that you forget that when someone, I think it was maybe Phaedra, was talking shit about Shamia and saying that Shamia was a slut and slept around and then also like scissored with Candy, that Portia just sat there and was like, oh, okay, and did not defend her best friend. So don't forget the origins of their rift, sir.
Well, not defending is different. If Portia had come to that lunch and been like, Shamia's a slut and she did this and this and this, it would be more the same.
No, but here's what happened. So Portia did not defend Shamia. The rift grew and Shamia invited her to her wedding and Portia was like, oh, I'm not going to come because I have like, I have restless leg syndrome or whatever it was. This was Shamia's wedding and Portia suddenly would be like, I'm not going to come.
Her second one. She already got married at City Hall.
Doesn't matter. It's your still best friend. Like, oh, say that to your best friend next time, Ronnie. Say that to your best friend. Oh, sorry, it's your second wedding.
Ben, if you get married in Africa, I'm going to be like, Ben, I will take you to dinner with your husband here in America. Because Africa is a long way. That's not just a normal destination wedding. Like,
yeah, that's a big destination. And to be, okay, so now I'm going to go against myself here. I think that from what I've heard from anyone who plans a wedding, that it's so stressful and there's so many issues with the guest list that you're usually pretty happy when someone says they can't come. But it's still your best friend. I'm sorry. I think that...
Well, especially a destination wedding. Look at your friend. I mean, look at us when we went to Mexico. We were like, how do we get here? Where do we get a cab? Where are we? What, you know, where's the soap? Where's the air conditioning? It's like, I'm the bride. Leave me alone.
Yeah.
Yes. Like people just texting you nonstop all day.
I still can't believe, Ronnie, that you and I were like... that we did that. I cannot believe we went to Mexico together and that we were in that, like...
That shit was hilarious. That
very run-down section of Mexico and that we were navigating through that. Like, that's so bonkers.
So, I will never forget that. And if anybody wants to hear about it, it's on a bonus episode somewhere, so go find it.
It's a hilarious bonus episode. It's worth listening to. You know, by the way, if you sign up for the bonus episodes, you get to listen to all of them. So, back to this. The next morning... Cynthia and Mal are ready to go, and guess what? Cynthia's going to go support Kenya's Habitat for Humanity thing. So, which is questionable because Portia's having an event on Saturday, which is kind of the reason.
Yes, and Portia's like,
"Well, I feel like a side chick right now."
Because of course, Kenya shows up, and Cynthia's like, "Never mind, Chad. I'm going to go help with Habitat for Humanity." And Kenya's just such an asshole about it. She's like, "I'm not just here to look pretty. I'm here to actually help." I was like, "Does that mean not give money?" Because I'm sure it's like a Property Brothers scene where they're like, "Oh, you're going to help us to save some money. Here's a big sledgehammer. Go knock down a wall."
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, great help. I'm sure they needed you guys to fly and bring production and do all this shit to knock down a few walls, Kenya. Where is your damn money? Your damn money out. Get your damn pocketbook out if you want to help.
I also hate people, those bullshit people who feel like if you're going to do work, you're going to roll up your sleeves and do work. You can't have fun. You can't make jokes. You can't do anything. You just have to be like tough. Be like, I don't have time for this. You know those people? Because it's almost a way to compensate for not doing work. Be like, if I act like it's time to do work, I'm like, that's serious. We got to do this. We got to get down to work.
Yeah, like, she's an asshole. And then the people who are there are like, okay, well, here's what we need. She's like, oh, knock down some walls. I'm like, yes, okay. Well, then do this. Yes. Then do it with the screw gun. Yes, like you know everything because you've had a few of your garage door windows knocked out. Shut up, Kenya, asshole. Yeah. And then she's rude to everybody who's there helping her. Then Portia told Shamia to go help. She's like,
just be there in my place. Because I have my own event, because Kenya scheduled her event 1 hour before mine. What a shocker.
And Portia, I think, is taking it pretty well.
Yeah.
So Shamia calls Kenya, and she's like, hey, girl, I'm trying to find you, but where am I supposed to go? And she's like, call production, Shamia. We're busy helping people rebuild homes.
I'm not your assistant, Shamia. Ask the volunteers. Gotta go. It's like, You can answer it, you know? Meanwhile, before we get into the heavy volunteering, Candy goes to visit Block. And she's like, see, now Riley started to sob. And I was like, Riley, why are you sobbing so much? And she's like, Mom, I don't know. And I was like, I'm going to go visit Block and be like, see, now Block, have a baby boy. He's like,
He's like Nono from Real Housewives of New Jersey.
Nono.
It's like Jurassic Park. The T-Rex is coming.
So funny, though. He goes, now, I do have to say, I get lucky with great moms. You know, I've been really lucky with all the moms.
That's what she does the laugh.
That shit was hilarious. And then he looks... he looked right into the camera. So funny.
So basically, she's, you know... They both agree that they have to improve their communication with each other so that Riley stops feeling like she's torn right now. She doesn't know whether or not to trust her dad, etc. And they really have to, you know, improve this situation. And Candy wants to go to counseling, and Block is like, sure. So, you know, good progress on the Candy Block Royal Front.
Then we get the dueling events. So Portia's drive, her car gets to her event.
Yes. Oh, I know, and what
the GPS goes, arrived. And she goes,
we know, girl.
What they didn't show is Portia being like, we know, girl. Hey, when are we going to get there? And Siri's like, I just told you, bitch. That's why I said it.
Are we there yet?
She's going up. It's a big food drive that they're doing there. So they're setting up there. Meanwhile, the Habitat for Humanity thing, Kenya arrives, and Kenya's like, my husband is so proud of me. Like, what is this version of Kenya? Where did this come from? I hate this Kenya.
So desperate for a fucking man she can't see straight. Now that she has one, she can't talk about anything but. That's been the same Kenya. Hasn't had one.
You're right. We just haven't gotten to see this side because she hasn't. You're right. So she's saying that stuff. 400 people show up to Porsche's event. They start to run out of food. Porsche starts to cry. I feel like I shouldn't make fun of it when she's crying, be like, we're running out of food. I'm like, you know, I like that she was so impassioned and everything. But like when Porsche cries, sometimes it makes me laugh and I feel bad.
But it's so awkward. They're like doing a raffle and someone's like, you get a $500 gift certificate. I was like, I don't think that's very nice. I don't know, get a bunch of lower denomination ones or something. But she ended up getting more food.
Yeah.
And then they keep cutting back and forth between these two things. And Kenya's at Habitat for Humanity. And she's like, look,
it's an actual person who lost everything. Tamika, tell us what you feel.
And she's like, she's like crying, you know, because it is so fucking sad to look around this neighborhood.
Yeah, she said, this woman said that she's like, she bought her own house. She spent 2 years getting the house, everything, and now it's like gone. And now no one knows what to do.
Yeah, and Kenya's like, I am floored by the devastation. I was like, I don't know that that's the right word when you're about to redo somebody's house. Just get to work, Kenya. Okay?
Well, that's what
How
Kenya,
about you just
she was
be
like,
quiet?
She's like, no time for photos. Let's just get to work. That's what we're here for, to be working, working hard, working. I'm Kenya Moore. I'm working hard. Look at me. I'm being angry, which shows I'm working. Doesn't this make you want to do Habitat for Humanity? It's a really unfun job, everyone.
Do you need any garage windows glued back in? I know how to do that.
Did somebody say something about garage windows? Hey, I'm Matt. I'm back.
I know. Like, finally, we have the opportunity to break something down, and Matt's not there with a sledgehammer.
I saw a commercial on the plane for a new movie based on the video game Rampage. You know, where it's like, you know, it's basically, you know, remember that video game Rampage where it's like all the famous movie monsters like Godzilla and King Kong? They go and they like climb. You play them, and they you destroy skyscrapers and stuff. So there's a new version with The Rock, and like you see these giant, like, you know, you see a gorilla, you see a Godzilla, you see just monsters destroying skyscrapers, and you just know that Matt had a boner. He's like, oh, I only got to do a garage window.
I wish I could do a whole Scott script.
Kenya's in the game. She's like, I would beat you up, but I can't because right now I'm working very hard. It's like Godzilla has to wait on the side.
Kenya's trying to do Habitat for Humanity on all the skyscrapers that are getting destroyed. There's no time right now, Dwayne Johnson, The Rock. I have to fix this skyscraper. So anyway,
I cannot with Kenya through this whole thing. You know, she was there like a total of an hour and a half.
And so, yeah. And so they're doing this, all this stuff, which is, you know, hey, at the end of the day, who cares who's doing it? Who cares what their attitude was? It's getting done. And that's what's most important. But Shamia, you know, as we mentioned before, Shamia called up and was like, hey, I'm pulling up. Well, which house are you at? Like, I don't know, Shamia. So Shamia shows up anyway, still in like smiling and being nice. And Kenya's like, okay, so let's get Shamia on the trash bags, which I love because as much as Kenya can be so annoying, her shade can be so amazing.
It's so funny. And then Shamia goes, well, okay. Also, I wanted to tell you that Portia sent me on her behalf. And she goes, well, she has her own stuff going on, you know, that's wigs, fine. Makeup, looking good, pretty dresses, etc. And she's like, well, but she also wanted to know that she's making her own donation to your cause, too. And Kenya's like, well, we're here to work, okay? So let's not talk about this because we're working. Ugh.
Shut up.
Just go. Just leave.
You can volunteer with a smile, okay?
God, get out of here. Yeah, I'm sure Habitat for Humanity really appreciated that 2 hours of work you did with a ton of production crew eating all the food that was donated. Because you know the cameramen were eating all the Fritos on that craft tray.
Well, the good news is that house has now been insulated with Kenya Moore hair care or whatever. She just takes that shampoo. I kept his water. Ah, she ruined her own house. So, and meanwhile, at the Porsche's event, the food did arrive. And she said that in the end, they actually fed nearly 2,000 people, which is actually really crazy because they were expecting only 400. So, either way, you know,
and
good job.
And she also, guess what? She also worked. She also sat there and served the damn food. So, shut up, Kenya. Okay? I'm really too angry at Kenya. I don't know why. I know it seems totally inappropriate, but she's making my fucking blood boil.
Good.
So, now all the girls are celebrating at dinner. Yeah.
The fun part.
Now for the next hour. It's going to be a 5-hour show.
Yeah.
So, now that they're all they're eating dinner together, but Kenya's not there.
Yeah.
And they're teasing Portia for being a baby vegan. And Cynthia's like, girl, you being tested tonight as a vegan child. Which she was. I mean, those were just mounds of meat on top of chips.
You could tell that Portia was like, what? I didn't even bring my calculator. I don't think I'm ready for the test. No, it's an expression. So then everything's fine. And Lauren tells Cynthia that basically they were super disappointed because they had worked 2 weeks on this event, and Cynthia didn't even show up, and that was, you know, the whole thing. And Cynthia's like, child, Kitchen Islands, though. Child, Kitchen Islands. What should I say? What should I say? Child.
Yeah, she's like, there's only so many leaf blowers in one town. Woman can hold.
I just try to come in good grace and be the best that I can do. And Lauren's like, yeah, but don't you want to support the people who support you? And Cynthia's like, child, I came to that little thing on Friday afternoon. Wasn't that what it was supposed to be? I didn't even know there was something on Saturday, child. And then
yeah.
They do a flashback of Cynthia saying, so I heard you're doing your thing on Saturday.
Yes, you came to mine and I'll come to yours. But I did like that Portia kept nice. Her sister, yeah. I mean, just be quiet over there.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned, shut up.
Yeah.
It's not your fight. And Portia's like, well, it's about, because Cynthia goes, well, I didn't even know about Habitat for Humanity till right before I had to go to it because Kenya made me or whatever.
Yeah.
And Portia's like,
it's about friendship. You texted Kenya and you're like, what up, big head?
No, Kenya, she's like,
Kenya touched the ground and was like, hey, what's up, big head? And why you just like jumped?
And Cynthia's like, excuse me, child. Excuse me. Would a big head be able to fit in this common San Diego hat?
So Cynthia throws her own shade. She says, at this point, Portia is lucky to have anyone from the group anywhere at any time, even eating nachos across from her. Okay. After what she did.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay. You have a point, but
yeah.
Still.
But so then Shamia's saying how she's like, you know, I kind of felt a little dismissed today. I don't like feeling dismissed. I felt dismissed by Kenya or whatever. And Mal's like, yeah, she was a little mean. I don't know. And Cynthia's like, I didn't see any of it, child. I thought she was super funny, child. I was like, what? Cynthia, come on now. I know you had like a whole like hazmat suit on, but even through that plastic, you could have heard how like nasty Kenya was being to everyone.
And Portia.
Dang, Kenya has some kind of hold on Cynthia. Just let that bitch drown.
So Kenya comes in. She doesn't say hi to anybody. She goes straight to the order counter and she goes,
"Hun, do you have a small portion of chicken?"
And they're like, "The kitchen's closed."
I was like, "Oh shit, Kenya's hangry." Now we know the dangers of being hangry, and I feel like we've never really. I guess there have probably been a lot of times when she's been hangry, but this has been the first time where we've actually known she's hangry. And I was like, oh, this is going to get bad real quickly.
Well, and I think it's obvious that she's doing what you said, where they're making her come to shoot. She doesn't want to come. She shows up late.
Yeah.
Then they pick something without beer, with only beer and wine for her. And she's like, what kind of place do you have me eating in?
You forced me to go to this place. There's not even food for me. I don't want to shoot with these bitches. I already came down here. I'm tired. And
staring at her phone, immediately sits down on her phone.
And Cynthia, by the way, and Cynthia's sort of hilarious because Cynthia's like, "Johnny, oh, what are you gonna eat? I feel bad because I sat here and I stuffed myself, child. You must be so hungry. I'm so full. I feel bad for you." I was like,
Mal's like, "Did your family have fun, Kenya? Did your family have fun at Habitat for Humanity?" And she's like, "Well, they had fun planting things, but you know, work in the house is too much for kids." And Shamia goes, "Well, you made it look easy, but it felt hard."
"Can I have some water, please?" Just shouting it across the restaurant, like she's at the
she's such an asshole.
I don't know. It's just,
so, and she tells Shamia, "You were there 5 minutes. Give me a break." I was like, "So were you. Get out of here. Your hair was still done at the end."
So Shamia starts to explain her feelings, being like, "I just felt like," and doing it in a very nice way. She's like, "I just, you know, like you were really harsh." And Kenny's like, "Well, don't take it personally." She's like, "Well, I kind of did because, you know, you were
ice water. I want more ice water."
She didn't know how to defend herself, so she just kept screaming for ice water, even though they had already brought her some. Yeah. And Shamia goes, "Why don't you just bring her 2 pitchers and I'll wait so I'm not interrupted again?"
So Kenya's just like giving her this big old stink face because Shamia's saying, "I just felt pretty dismissed, you know, because I came there to help and you're being really nasty." And then she's like, "I was there to work. I was there to work, you know, doing all that shit, you know."
Yeah, she's like, "Ring, ring, school's out. Wait, are you dismissing me? Your parents are late to pick you up. Wait, have I been dismissed? It's now Saturday. You're still at school." "Okay, I'm officially dismissed. Okay.
Summer, go on vacation."
"Okay, I get it."
"Don't forget your backpack."
"Okay, I've been dismissed."
"Clean out your locker."
"All right, I've been dismissed. I get it." Yeah, asshole.
Wasn't there a dating show on MTV called Dismissed? If not, there should have been. I think there was. Wasn't that where they all were on a bus? And it's like, you're dismissed. Go back on the bus.
It's Kenya. She's like, "I would date you, but I'm here to work. Dismissed."
Yeah. So Kenya's just being, like, Shamia's just trying to explain herself. And Kenya's just being obnoxious and not hearing it. And it's like a simple thing where Kenya's just been like, "Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was stressed or I was busy or, you know, I was just in a zone and I'm sorry. I'm really thankful that you came to my thing." And instead, Kenya's like, "Let it go. That's a better look." You know, and it's just like, Then she's saying, "I just want to talk about it another time." And Portia's saying, "I think that was a good time, though." And Kenya's like, "Well, I think it's not."
Yeah.
Get over it.
And then Shamia tries to just give Kenya her way. And she goes, "You know what? I don't want to be combative." And she goes, "Well, you seem upset." She goes, "I'm not upset. Like, that's the point. I'm actually not really upset." And Cynthia goes, "Yes, you were. Talk about it. All you talked about is how upset you were. So go ahead. Tell her how upset you were, child." And she goes, "Well, if you're dismissive or rude to someone," and then Kenya gets up and she's like, "Excuse me." And she just leaves.
Now, the thing is this, is that Shamia, her quote, I wrote this down because I was like, I want to make a point. Child, I want to make a point about this. She goes, "And I'm sorry if I came across that," because they talk about the combative thing. She's like, "And I'm sorry if I came across that way. I'm not trying to be combative." That is such a mature thing to say. That's like, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to come across that way. I'm just trying to just share something, whatever. And the fact that Kenya was just like not having it was obnoxious, I thought. Although, to be fair, I thought Shamia was like when they were like, well, Shamia, you're upset. And she was like, I'm not upset. Well, now, Shamia, you've undermined yourself because obviously you're upset. That's what Cynthia's saying. We've been talking about it. You're upset. You're allowed to be upset.
But Kenya's doing that thing where she's like, oh, you seem upset. She's like, well, I'm trying to have a normal conversation with you, not a big stupid fight for TV. Well, like you're trying to insinuate that I'm doing, you know.
And Kenya in full narcissist mode is, you know, she says in the interview being like, I'm sick of Shamia trying to overshadow all the good I came to do. I'm like, she's not trying to undermine you or take away from all the good. She's just saying, listen, you were mean to me. I didn't like it. Could you not do that? She even said at one point, so that way next time this won't happen, you know, like, I think even Shamia took it on herself saying, I just want to know what I can do so that way next time, you won't be annoyed. I don't know. But either way, Kenya gets up and she goes off to the bathroom and she's like, there would have been a time when I would have read Shamia to death, but I'm in a new place now. I'm a married woman.
You're so stupid. So, yeah, now you get up and you go scream at producers in the bathroom when you think nobody can hear you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a much better person now, Kenya. Now you're just screaming at the people who make like a tenth of what you make and work their asses off for hours at a time. So they have to listen to you like show up to pretend you're a good person and then read them to filth.
Yeah,
you're such an asshole woman. You are really the worst.
Yeah, I don't want to come here to get dragged in the mud, which again supports our theory, which is that like she's like, I'm going to come here, but I'm like, you know, she basically wants to look like an angel. And in fact, new thing on the theory I'm going to add, she's probably angriest of all because she wanted to be the one to spearhead the Houston charity episode, like her Detroit camp. She probably wanted to be the one, and the fact that Portia got to spearhead it, she was probably pissed, which is why she probably boycotted in the first place and why she probably had a stank ass attitude the entire time, because she wanted to be the one that looked like the big savior. And now she comes here and she's like, well, I'm only gonna go, but not if I get turned into the villain, you know, because she wanted to be the charity one of the episode.
Oh my god, I was trying to write down all the horrible things she said, but there were so many. She's like, I didn't come here to be drugged through the mud. Every time I try and do something positive, those motherfucking hoes, that whole table is full of shit. They're all idiots. That's why Mark doesn't want me to be part of this, because every time I turn around to you, trash his wife. I don't have to do shit no more. Take my motherfucking mic off. And she's calling everyone at the table an idiot and a moron, including Cynthia, who's supposed to be her friend. So Portia's like, I'm going to go see if she's okay. I was like, girl, you better hide behind some drywall. If they have any drywall left over in Kenya's trunk, you better get behind it.
Yeah. And Kenya's like, this is not a moment. See you later. Bye. Like,
she goes, you can't say nothing to me. This is not a moment. And everybody's just trying to have a scene with Kenya. Go.
Exactly. So then they are like, I like Portia, who's like, I don't understand why it's like Kenya's acting so crazy. I mean, you know, like she's certainly like asked irritating ass questions before. She can deal with it.
Mm-hmm. She's like, you certainly sat there and said some dumb shit or whatever.
Yeah.
So Kenya's like, if Mark could see how these ladies were attacking me, he'd make me leave before I left myself, probably. He wouldn't stand for it. I'm like, the husband who won't even move into the same town as you or come on camera, please give me a motherfucking break, lady.
Mark. Oh, dearest Mark. Have you learned nothing from Stassi, Kenya? Have you learned nothing? You were sacrificing your reality career for some douchebag in New York. It doesn't work out.
If we find out Mark has a man bun, I'm throwing something at the TV, I swear to God.
He doesn't have a man bun, but Candy Burrs did post a photo on Instagram with her and Todd and Kenya and Mark. And Mark is, at least from that angle, he actually was smoking hot. But his hair, he did that thing, I want to say flat iron, but I don't know if it's necessarily flat iron when it's like black hair, but it's like straight.
I think straightened works.
Straightened works. Why not? It's sort of as one of our listeners said, it was sort of like Cat Williams-esque. And I was like, so he doesn't have a man bun, but what he does have, I'm not feeling it personally. So I don't know. I need to see more angles on Mark before I weigh in.
I didn't see it, so I haven't really seen him yet because I don't even care enough to Google. I can't believe he's even real. I mean, I honestly can't believe it's real. That seems like complete bullshit to me.
So
Cynthia goes to the car, and Kenya's trying to leave. Yes, yeah. But of course the car won't leave because they're trying to shoot a fucking TV show, Kenya, which you're getting a ton of money job. For, you stupid a-hole. So Kenya's like, sorry, Cynthia, I'm going to the hotel. So she's trying to talk nicely again because I guess she doesn't realize that she's just been caught being fucking the sea witch, the sea urchin, Ursula the sea witch on Mike. So she's like, I'll see you later. And Cynthia's like, well, I just wanted to talk to you before you go and make sure that you don't have any leaves that need cleaning
up.
Bye,
Synth. This isn't a moment. This isn't a moment, Synth. Bye, Synth. Bye, Synth.
And then she rolls her window up on her. You know, remember last time you tried doing that to someone and your driver got punched in the face, Kenya? Yeah. You're the worst.
Well, I'm sure Cynthia was sort of happy. She was like, well, at least half of my new nickname has caught on. 50 Synth? Huh? So, That's pretty much where it ended. You know, there's a mid-season trailer that came out, and I noticed in the mid-season trailer for Atlanta, there's not a lot of Kenya. In fact, the only Kenya that we see is from this scene where she freaks out, and later on where she goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, my husband Mark." That's the only parts we see of it, and I'm like a little afraid that Cynthia is going to be sort of phased out of the rest of the season. I'm getting that vibe, especially because we are being introduced to Eva Marcel Eva Pigford, for those of us who are ANTM, archivists. So Eva is coming in as a sort of new cast member for the second half. It makes me kind of feel like we could be at the end of the Kenya Moore line here.
God, I hope so. I mean, I've never been a humongous... I loved her first year, but I've never been a huge fan of Kenya. I think she's a complete jerk. But at least she was making an effort to bring something good to the show. I've always been glad she's on the show. She's really good on it.
She is really. This is the first
she's
year
she's hilarious she on it. Even when she makes me crazy, she's hilarious on it. I'm even on her side this year versus Kim Zolciak because Kim Zolciak has managed to out-monster Kenya, which to me is amazing. And last year she was fairly nice and still managed to be entertaining. Like, I'm even though I'm never really on her side, I've always been... I was rooting for you.
Kenya's actually... Kenya, you know what? She picked up the slack for the second half. If you're looking at Atlanta as overall for the past 9 or 10 years, however long it's been on, she has picked up the slack for the second half of its run. She really has. She came in. She re-energized the show. She's galvanized every season that she's been on. And you know what? I mean, we're sitting here, you know, mad at Kenya. But you know what? Maybe she has a right to be a little checked out. You know, she is a star. They bring back Nini. They bring back Kim Zolciak. Nini and Kim have both gotten spinoffs. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Kenya has tried to get a few spinoffs and nothing has happened. She hasn't gotten anything. Who knows how much she's getting paid, but I wouldn't be surprised if Nini and Kim are getting paid more. She may just be like, you know, fuck this shit. Fuck it.
Well,
like,
she's a fucking monster of a human being and she doesn't have a right. And when people are paying your ass to show up to work, you better show your ass up.
That too. I'm just saying I can understand a little bit why she might be a little exhausted, but it is still your job. So do it.
Yeah, or don't. I hope she gets fired so bad.
I hope she doesn't. No, I don't want her to be fired at all.
I want her out of there. I mean, if they can give some of these ladies a second chance, you bring Phaedra on. I want to see Phaedra going down to City Hall and stopping people from getting.
I actually don't want. I mean, I miss Phaedra. I think Phaedra will operate well as a friend of. But the problem with Phaedra is that she is off. She's not upfront with her life. You know. I mean, not too many of them are, but Phaedra is always full of bullshit. I think we need to get Kenya Moore back to where she should be in terms of, like, as a character on this show. We need to reinvigorate her, whatever. We got to fix the Moore situation. And I don't think firing her is the way to go. I think somehow she needs to get her spark back. I don't know. You know what, though? If you have thoughts on it, just weigh in, everyone. Come to our Facebook page, facebook.com/WatchWhatCrappens, or Instagram, wherever you want to weigh in, Twitter, @WhatCrappens. Go to WatchWhatCrappens.com to buy tickets to our, how appropriate, our Houston and Detroit shows. Those are basically the Kenya Moore cities, Detroit and Houston. You can either come see us with her dad or see us with her mom. neither of whom will be there. But for real, go. We still have tickets for both of those venues. That's in March. And we'll be back tomorrow
to discuss some Vanderpump Rules. We'll be back on Wednesday to talk some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And we'll be back on Thursday to talk the season premiere of Summer House. Summer House on Thursdays. That's the new thing for us.
Duh.
Anything else to add to that, Ronnie?
I'm done. I got all my anger out on Kenya. I feel like I can just go like roll around in a field of flowers now.
Don't get any ticks. I don't want you to get the limes. Bye, everyone. See you tomorrow.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Welcome to Bose Recommends. This is the place to discover your new favorite podcast. Every week, we listen to hundreds of shows to bring you our favorites. And this is one we think you're going to love.
Buckle down, you midnight campers, and open the windows and get ready. Get ready for midnight to bring you a psychic gift.
Thanks for the introduction, Ryan Adams. And cheers to Bose Recommends for featuring us. Ryan was one of the guests on Midnight Chats, the interview podcast from Loud and Quiet magazine, where musicians come to lose their minds. Not really, it's just a conversation with a late night feel. Some, they're silly, like Mac DeMarco.
I'd like to have a big pig, like a big, you know, people get little pigs.
Yeah.
I'm talking big pig, like a huge swine.
Others are full of practical life advice, a bit like Laura Marling.
Well, right now, just got into making cheese. I've been making halloumi. I've been trying to get halloumi down.
Halloumi's my favourite cheese.
It's the greatest cheese.
It's the best cheese.
Or just a bit surreal, like Flying Lotus.
There's that animator, Coco Freak Bean. You heard of Coco Freak Bean?
I haven't.
Crazy.
I need to see.
Yeah. Whoever that is, right? Yeah. You definitely need to see some Coco Freak Bean.
I'm Greg, and every other Thursday, we release a new chat for your listening at midnight. And people seem to like it. So we've recorded episodes in the past with artists like Future Islands, Billy Corgan, Mike Skinner from The Streets, Charlotte Gainsbourg, Angel Olsen, Franz Ferdinand, Loyal Karna, Thundercat Banks, and Craig David. Check us out by searching for Midnight Chats to listen and subscribe on Acast, iTunes, or your preferred podcast app. Finally, massive respect to Bose for recognising podcast greatness when they hear it. See you at midnight.
That was this week's Bose Recommends. The place to discover your new favorite show. If you want to find out how you can enjoy podcasts and even better sound quality, visit bose.co.uk. Bose, get closer.
We're here at the 20-meter freestyle dinner grab with Team GB's Billy Morgan and his Visa contactless card.
This pair are slicker than greased lightning through hot butter, Jeff.
Meow. Billy's a groundbreaking British snowboarder, and Visa contactless gets him what he fancies for dinner every time.
It, Jeff, what a formidable pairing. Billy will be tucking into that before he knows it. Lovely stuff.
You need dinner in a flash? We help you pay in record time. Visa, proud sponsors of the Winter Olympics Pyeongchang 2018. Subject to bank T's and C's.